Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website rickackerman.com. He's speaking to us from where today?
Muggy, hot Florida. You know, we don't get autumn like everybody else around here. It's still, even at night, my air conditioning just went out and it was still 82 in the house.
Well, Rick, you're hot in a literal sense. But when it came to forecasting what was going to happen with the markets, how accurate were you?
Rick's Picks has been white hot. I got to tell you, and there are a couple forecasts that are very important because we've had a top, potential major top in the dollar and possibly in interest rates. I'm waiting to see. You know, according to my method, depending on how much of a retracement we get, we've either had the top is in or it's not. But we've had a top that was certainly tradable and significant, especially for beleaguered bond bulls.
So what was the story there? Can you maybe give us some examples?
Well, in my commentary that went out last Sunday, I featured just a chart with interest rates. And let me see if I can find it here. No such luck. Anyway, you can go to rickackerman.com. And I had a 4.81% target on the 30-year bond rate. And that's exactly where we topped this morning. It's had quite a rally to get there. And this could be a very important number because it may signal an end to the interest rate spiral that's come off Fed tightening. And I can tell you one other thing. If the retracement proves to be relatively shallow, we only come down a little bit, and it pops through, the 30-year is going to 4.98%, and that is as high as it's going to go. So we've either had the top or we've got one more move up to a top at exactly 4.98%. And there's a little bit of an inversion implied in the charts because when I look at the 10-year rate, it shows a potential top of 5.06%. So them's the way things look.
Now, how does that affect the stock market?
Well, the stock market is dead meat now, even though the rubes who are buying into it don't quite know. It's any rally is a distribution. And the dirt balls know we're going into a protracted period of recessionary earnings. The world's biggest company can't, you know, they're clueless. Their idea of innovation is to change the charger cord to a type C connection. That's like a big deal at Apple. So anyway, their pricey iPhone is very vulnerable in the recession that's coming. And I think that, Apple sensed this. Apple knows that something bad is coming because if you look at the chart going back a couple weeks, Apple took a real header. You know, the same sleazeballs who worked the stock for a living, they gave it, goosed it into one last nice distribution rally that peaked back on the 5th of September. But the next morning, the next 2 days, they really let her fall all the way from 190 down to 173. So that was basically a clear indication that Apple knows that recession is coming. We're about to enter economic winter.
It doesn't help, too, that the latest model of Apple phone is reportedly overheating so hot that you can't hold on to it.
Well, you know, it's like color TV in 1954. We're still waiting for the breakthrough. You know, we're still waiting for Apple to deliver a really good battery. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was the EU that forced them into making their charger cables like everybody else's. And, you know, it's no surprise. The overheating comes as no surprise. The only thing they're able to improve from one camera to the next, one phone to the next, is the camera. They've just added another 86 features to the 500 camera features that no one uses anyway.
Yeah, I would just like to have one that took a nice clear picture without having to worry about the 8,000 settings.
Right. One of the, you know, you take a group shot, and if one person in your group is not smiling, it won't take the picture. That's one of the settings. And, you know, even my friend Victor, who knows, he could probably build one of these cameras. He doesn't use most of these features either. He's a professional photographer.
So getting into crude, apparently the OPEC and Russian cutbacks have boosted the price, but how long will that work?
Yeah, well, you know that's a fraud, because any rally driven by curtailment in supply is not long for this world. You know, the Arabs and the Russians are getting a pretty good pop here, and the Iranians too, on energy prices. But a real rally in energy would be driven by an increase in demand. And, of course, that ain't happening. Even the world's largest demander of crude at the margin, China, is slipping in its own hellish recession. So, you know, you'd like to think that if there's a bull market in energy prices, that it would come from a resurgence of manufacturing in China. But that's certainly not what's happening.
Is there a danger if we don't let the Chinese do what they do best, which is build things, that they might decide, well, let's take our population's mind off unemployment and poor investments. Let's go after Taiwan.
No, I continue to believe that the Chinese would never move on to Taiwan. They see decadence and collapse in the West to the extent that they understand they don't have to take it by force. It's going to fall on its own.
Also, Taiwan, being the world's largest chip maker, has Taiwan told China, you invade, we blow up all the chips or the chip factories?
Well, that's definitely a shoot oneself in the foot thing. I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, I don't know how much it costs to build a fab plant these days, but I think probably over $10 billion. So no one's going to do any sabotage there.
Well, if the Chinese missiles are as accurate as the ones the Russians are using, they'll hit those factories anyway, even if they try not to in an invasion. Once the bullets start to fly, they fly everywhere.
Well, you know, I'm thinking back to the natural gas pipeline that, of course, CNN blamed on Russian sabotage, sure. So I guess, yeah, anything can happen despite the cost of what you're blowing up.
Do you think China will be able to bounce back from their self-made real estate crisis where people bought 5 or 6 empty apartments in cities that nobody lives in?
Yeah, that's. I think that does the Chinese credit. I mean, it shows you just how deep the pool of savings was that they can absorb that kind of hit. But when it comes in conjunction with the, you know, a good consumer-driven recession or depression, it's going to be no. They're not going to overcome it. They're going to pay the price essentially in a deflating economy, and I mean deflating for years. But you got to give them credit where credit is due to have had such wild speculation in these units that are essentially just walls without the electrical conduits and all that. That's quite an achievement. I mean, even building these ghost cities. It's that they're a marvel of a savings economy.
Apparently, they have rampant unemployment. What happens when you have a surplus of young men with no jobs?
It's impossible to read that. I mean, even to say how many jobs are going vacant. You know, for years, Russia was at full employment, but you know, there were people seated. These were employees seated at the bottoms of escalators and things. They were just sort of watching the escalators. So there's within a command communist socialist economy, you can make any claim you want as to how efficiently the economy is running. Eventually it catches up with you, as it did with Stalin and his 5-year plans, but these days nobody's really doing much fact checking.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, are you surprised that the price of copper hasn't gone up more or hasn't been stronger, considering that there's supposed to be this huge drive to build electric vehicles?
This huge drive. I wonder what that huge drive is all about. You know, I think that the spin has gone the other way. People are starting to understand the economic and environmental costs of building all electric cars. So I'm not quite sure about that. But you can, you know, I guess you expect Doc Copper to predict accurately what crude oil is not predicting. You know, I was just talking about how crude is being driven by curtailment of supply rather than organic demand, and copper is essentially it's validating that idea. But another reason is that you know, crude to a much greater extent than copper exists within the global financialized economy, and you know, when we talk about two plus quadrillion dollar derivatives market, a lot of the collateral in that market for some of the cockamamie financial vehicles, the hyper leveraged things that get traded in that market, they're collateralized by natural gas and oil. And so in that sense, the financial economy needs for crude prices to go higher. And when they finally top out and start coming down with the vengeance, that's definitely going to be a, you know, trumpet sounding from on high event, because it will essentially bring the financialized economy into collapse. But copper doesn't really have that much influence on the financialized part of our world.
Is uranium going to be bright from now on?
Right. I don't, you know, the uranium story has been around for as long as the coal story, and it always kind of mutates. And I suppose I'm bullish on uranium simply because when you look at the energy pie and you see what a flop wind power, solar, and other renewable sources are in changing the allocations of the pie. You know, I went years ago to a presentation given by, I think it was UBS, and they put that pie up in front of us, and they were talking about just how long it would take, how many decades it would take to shift the allocation of energy, our sources of energy, just a little bit, a couple percentage points out of fossil fuels and into anything else. So 10, 15 years later, that's really what's happened. So so nuclear really winds up being the only source of energy that can be ramped up quickly enough to make a difference. Unfortunately, it will have a little breathing time as the world goes into a depression, and it will take some of the urgency out of fossil fuel production.
You can imagine the frustration a lot of Canada has. We have unlimited natural gas, it seems, third largest oil reserves in the world. And yet we have a federal government that says it's going to ban the sale of traditional vehicle engines in about, 2035.
Canada has become, and I don't want to hurt your feelings. I know you're up there in Vancouver, but Canada has become so crazed under Trudeau that in some ways it's sort of leading California. So, it doesn't surprise me that in an economy that has all the resources in the world to develop and sell to the world, that the powers that be are kind of canceling that option.
Well, yeah, Trudeau refused to talk to Germany about exporting natural gas to them. And,
right.
We have 200 years of proven natural gas reserves just here in British Columbia.
Exactly. I mean, the resources are there, really. And, of course, the matter of developing and awarding tax incentives to developers of energy is what the game is all about. And I hate to say it, you've got the wrong guy in charge. Not that America's got a commander that we can rely on either.
What's going on with gold and silver?
They look like crap. You know, gold occasionally, bullion goes into its bullion is garbage mode. Although this time, you don't see everybody coughing up gold in exchange for Bitcoin. At least that fad looks to run its course. But gold has gotten hit. I put out a trade myself to my subscribers. Probably, I think it's the first losing trade we've had in a year. And it was buying GDXJ, the ETF proxy for junior miners, exploration companies. And true to form, it was a very nice looking setup. And it just kind of cracked. We wound up with a minimal loss, $200 loss on the trade. But gold, it's still in the nastiest, most frustrating bull market you could imagine. It's just kind of waiting for the big picture to change. But it's gold is telling us that when the bear market really comes roaring, that gold is not going to move against it. It's going to move with it. So I'm seeing lower lows in gold and even in some of these ridiculously oversold mining companies, if you can believe it.
Do you think the BRICS will eventually bring in a gold-backed currency, or is that just something they like to threaten the U.S. with?
You and I always talk about that, and the answer is always the same. Yeah. There's no this world can't afford a hard currency, especially countries that are trying to sell energy resources. You know, if the rest of the world had to pay hard money, especially gold, for energy, the suppliers couldn't sell any of it. So, you know, we're currently at the abyss of, or the edge of, a huge sort of Marianas Trench drop off into deflation. So the last thing we need in the world is some sort of quasi gold standard, a limited gold standard, or some entity that's swapping real resources for gold. They won't be able to sell anything in hard currency. And the other thing about the alternative currency that we've talked about many times is that you can't replace the $2 quadrillion plus derivatives market with another currency. You know, the dollar is the only currency that's capable of handling a shell game that size. So no, the BRICS aren't going to do anything, and no threat to implement a harder kind of money, even if the political reasons are clear and compelling. It's just a lot of twaddle.
Yeah, and I always say too, in the deepest, darkest jungles of the world, if you had a Benjamin versus a Chairman Mao on a piece of paper, which one do you think they would take?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's why I tell my guys, keep that shoebox full of fives, tens, twenties. The dollar may be fundamentally worthless. You look at it, you think, well, what is behind this? And what's behind it is, you know, $8, $10, $12, $15 worth of debt. So the dollar, in one key sense, doesn't really qualify as money. But the tradition of the dollar and the reverence that people around the world have had for the dollar for 100 years is, it kind of makes the case. You don't need a sound dollar for the dollar to function very well in a barter economy, which is where I think we're headed.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, I guess I'm certainly keeping a close eye on the dollar and on treasury yields, because for reasons, technical reasons that I mentioned earlier, we could be at a watershed reversal. But again, if the 30-year does head higher above my 4.81% target that's in my current commentary, it's going to 4.98%, but I do not think it can go higher than that. And if you want to, if I would recommend, if your listeners want to get sort of close to the numbers here, they consider just coming to rickackerman.com and taking a free trial subscription.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always a pleasure, Jim. I appreciate your inviting me on.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.